Hi, everyone. You're listening to Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition, where we bring you the latest trends in the oncology pharmacy space. I'm your host, Alex Gerlach, and today we're talking about a new piece of legislation, the House bill called Protecting Patient Access to Cancer and Complex Therapies Act. It was introduced in response to some of the ripple effects of the Inflation Reduction Act, or the IRA, and could have real implications for patients, providers, and especially pharmacists. So to walk us through what this bill proposes and how it fits into the bigger picture, I'm joined by Nick Ferreros, the Managing Director of Policy, Advocacy, and Communications at the Community Oncology Alliance. And he's been closely following the IRA and this new legislation to help bring a clearer perspective on what's at stake for community oncology and the patients they serve. So without further ado, let's dive in. Thanks so much for joining me today, Nick. I'm really looking forward to talking about this new House bill and the IRA, and what community oncology practices can expect in this ever-changing health policy environment. So why don't we start pretty easy? Can you give our audience a little bit of information about yourself?
Yeah, well, thanks. Thank you very much for having me. It's always great to be talking about health policy, which is one of my addictions. I'm Nick Ferreros, Managing Director at the Community Oncology Alliance. We are a nonprofit trade association for independent community oncology practices. So those are providers that deliver the majority of cancer care in this country in local clinics and not in large hospitals or academic centers. And I focus on everything from federal policy and advocacy to delivery reform and communications of what we're doing. And yes, unfortunately, I have read the IRA guidance and footnotes. So I think I need a little bit of professional help when we're done here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I've recently become more interested in health policy, and it seems like I picked a great time considering everything that's going on right now. But before we get into the new bill, let's talk about the IRA, what it is, what it's intended to do, and how it's playing out on the ground.
Yeah, so when you look at the history of our Medicare program, you know, you have these sort of really monumental pivot points in reform for what we're seeing. And, you know, you've got the Medicare Modernization Act in the early 2000s, the Affordable Care Act about 10 to 15 years ago, and its various implementation periods. And now we have the Inflation Reduction Act, which I really truly believe is in the realm of all of these sort of major pivot points in our federal healthcare policy. And the biggest part of the IRA is that it has given the federal government and Medicare new authority to negotiate drug prices. This is for the first time in history. It's something that has been a political third rail for a very long time, very partisan issue. And, you know, the intent is solid. We will never be able to argue with a straight face that drug prices and the sticker prices are affordable. They need to be made more affordable. We need to reduce out-of-pocket costs for seniors and rein in sort of overall Medicare spending. But as with all policy, the devil is in the details. And these details are very dangerous. The challenge for providers is in the way that CMS has interpreted and chosen to implement the program. For drugs that are administered in the physician's office, so that's like Part B drugs, and many cancer therapies fall in that. Practices are currently reimbursed on what's called a buy and bill system of average sales price plus 6%. When CMS cuts that price of drugs and the negotiated price, that 6% is gonna shrink too. But at the same time, our cost of delivering care doesn't change. And that is where we're facing down right now with the IRA. Because it's essentially cutting provider payments. And what we're going to see is we're projecting effectively a 50% reduction in reimbursement under the IRA. And for oncology practices that have such high overhead from maintaining their drug stockpiles, mixing, preparing, and delivering them to patients, and that for the last 20 years have had to rely on this payment to continue operations, this is going to be a devastating cut.
So shifting over to the House bill, which seems like it is going to relieve or fill in one of those gaps left behind with the IRA. Our listeners who maybe aren't so familiar, could you break down for them what this legislation proposes and how it fits into the larger picture?
The Protecting Patient Access to Cancer and Complex Therapies Act has been a priority for COA for the last couple of years. And this year we have a new Congress, 119th Congress. So the bill has to be reintroduced. And we're having this one led by Representative Dr. Greg Murphy from North Carolina. Essentially what it would do is what we've been pursuing for a very long time, which is a technical correction or a technical fix to the IRA. As with any really large, complex piece of legislation, such as the IRA, you're going to have unintended consequences. You can have a lot of details to work out. These are, you know, just the technical guidance for implementing IRA in 1 year comes out to 1,800 pages worth of writing. So there's a lot of opportunity for needing to fix that. What this bill would do would create a very small technical fix. It would still get the government its money, but it would ensure that the 6% add-on payment that Part B providers rely on is calculated on the pre-negotiated price on ASP, not the lower price. So essentially ASP would not be diminished. It preserves the government savings, doesn't dismantle the negotiations, still gets the government the money it needs, but it ensures that independent provider practices that deliver a high amount of Part B drugs, such as community oncology practices, are not hurt with the Inflation Reduction Act.
So kind of just thinking about how volatile our political environment looks right now, what do you think the likelihood of passage looks like for this bill?
We are in a historically very partisan time in Congress. I know everyone says that every year in recent memory, but it's getting worse and worse. Both sides of the aisle are really not interested in working together, are pointing fingers at each other. But this is an issue that we are seeing a lot of bipartisan effort come behind. Because our elected representatives in Washington, the regulators in CMS and Medicare and Medicaid recognize that this policy could really disrupt and upend the system, and that before they know it, it'll be too late. And they also recognize that this fix is just a technical fix. It is not upending the entire system. So we are very hopeful. We have had a tremendous amount of meetings in Washington on Capitol Hill with Congress. We've met with the administration. We've met with CMS, and you know they're all very receptive to this message that we need to fix the IRA before it is too late. It will be incredibly disruptive to hundreds of thousands of patients across the country. And it ensures that practices aren't going to be left holding the bag underwater or having to potentially close their doors. And what would happen in that case is that the bill would actually backfire because it would shift more and more care into the hospital setting. And that is shown time and again to be a much more expensive site of service for cancer treatment. So, you know, Washington is listening. Washington is looking for solutions. We just need to overcome some of those challenges that have been baked into the system over the last few years of partisanship. And I think we're confident we're getting there.
Yeah. So let's take this kind of to the front lines. We've talked about the House bill, the IRA, the relationship between the two. But let's focus on the community oncology practices that you've been referencing. Because that's really where the rubber meets the road. So a lot of these unintended effects of the IRA are hitting community oncology practices pretty hard. What are you hearing from practices on the ground? And what do you think the benefit of the bill will be for community oncology practices?
So the challenges of the Inflation Reduction Act are multifaceted. Some of them fall into Medicare Part B. So as in boy, that will kick in 2028. And some of them kick in starting next year with Medicare Part D as in dog. You know, two of the problems that we're seeing right now and that we're focused on are operational complexity. So these new IRA programs bring into the fold a tremendous amount of practice transformation and change, whether it's setting up yourself with the transaction facilitator. So that's a new middleman that the government is setting up to process transactions in the IRA and dealing with that. Figuring out how the payment flow is going to work. Is it going to be a rebate? Is it going to be a discount? Who's going to be managing that? The government has really abdicated itself from a lot of the responsibility in that. They have left it up to manufacturers to work and solve that problem. And our big concern is that, you're going to have a patchwork of different solutions across different provider settings. That just like implementing electronic health records is going to add a significant cost to practices and put them in more and more financial strain. So that's a really big one. And we have seen projections from the community pharmacists who are actually going to be hit on this first starting in next year because they have a much higher volume of IRA eligible drugs, that it's almost the equivalent of one full-time employee. And in this day and age of wage inflation and cost inflation for practice operations, as well as a historic trend of decreased reimbursement, those are costs that practices simply cannot bear. In addition, all of the things that I mentioned, like payment terms, payment flow, systems to be set up, those are going to add a lot of costs and indirect sort of operating challenges to the practices to have to navigate. Secondarily, as I talked about, is the cut to practice reimbursement. Quite frankly, starting in 2028, we're looking at upwards of a 47, 50% cut in provider reimbursement for these Part B drugs, sometimes even as high as 64% based on some projections that Avalere has done. That's $20 billion being pulled out of oncology. That is a lot of money that practices rely on. Again, oncology drugs are not very simple things where you just sort of pull them off the shelf and give them to the patient. They require a USP 700, 800 sterile room and a pharmacy to mix and prepare. You have toxic waste that has to be disposed of. You have the skilled staff and labor that goes into preparing, mixing, and delivering it to the patients, and all the overhead that comes with that. And for the last two decades, practices have had to rely upon that margin to operate, while at the same time, Medicare payments for services have been cut year after year after year. So when you're looking at a 40, 50% cut in reimbursement and have nothing coming in to backfill that, starting in 2028, practices are looking at a huge cliff in revenue. And we are really, really concerned about that. And then, in addition, so much of our commercial market is pegged to ASP, meaning so commercial health insurance, those prices are and reimbursement prices are pegged to Medicare prices, and they're pegged based on average sales price, which is that number that is used for drug pricing and reimbursement. So much of that is pegged to that, and because ASP is used so broadly. Anything that's going to happen with Medicare policy, all of these cuts are going to ripple across into the commercial market, making the impact even worse.
So, and
And
this question.
I didn't, I sorry, you can cut into this. I did not actually talk about the bill. If you want me to talk a little bit more about the bill, I can get specific. Yeah, so the Protecting Patient Access to Cancer and Complex Therapies Act is very simple. Technical fix to blunt the impact of the Inflation Reduction Act on practices starting in 2028. It essentially says, let's take ASP out of the middle of this. Let's continue to base practice reimbursement on ASP, not this new made-up number MFP that the IRA has created. And if you thought the government loved acronyms, the IRA has a lot going for you in that regard. But it provides a very straightforward and technical fix to the IRA. It removes providers from the middle of the pricing equation, removes providers from the middle of this sort of Damocles that's hanging over their head in 2028, and it'll ensure that practices are able to stay viable and financially secure for the time ahead.
So I think that this question comes with a tone of finality. But what would you say is at stake, if there's anything at stake, if this bill doesn't pass, and specifically in the context of community oncology practices?
I think if the IRA is not fixed to remove providers from the middle of these negotiations, you're going to look at a landscape of cancer care in the United States that will be devastated and upended within 6 to 12 months. And this is simply because practices are not going to be able to continue operating with their margins cut so close to the bone. It is already a very tough environment coming out of COVID. We've seen record inflation in staffing costs. These are healthcare staff that are highly trained and skilled, have a lot of options on the table for them. They're already being overpaid by large hospital systems that have extra revenue from programs like 340B. So practices have been sort of living on the edge for a while now. And if this bill is not passed, I do not think it is hyperbole to say that practices will close and care will shift to the much more expensive hospital system. What that means for us as sort of a broader country means more spending in our healthcare system, because hospitals are shown to be, you know, 5 to 11 times more expensive just on their drug charges, 50% more expensive on their services charges. You have facility fees, you have incredible cost sharing that goes on there for the patients that need to deal with that. So it is not out of the question to see a future where if the IRA and the Protecting Patient Access to Cancer and Complex Therapies Act is not passed, that practices are faced with a really tough dilemma of losing money or closing their doors. And so that's why COA is all in on this bill and fixing the IRA. We have submitted detailed comments to CMS. We've met with lawmakers. We've met with policymakers. We've published analyses. We have some fantastic ones from Avalere. And we see what's coming. We're trying to prevent this sort of slow motion collapse of local cancer care. And we need to ensure that this technical fix that addresses the core issues of this really complex piece of legislation are passed.
We're going to bring it back to our pharmacists, because there's a huge opportunity for them here, not just in terms of advocacy, but, you know, day-to-day impact as they are on the front lines of healthcare. How do you see this bill supporting pharmacists in cancer and complex care?
I think you're absolutely right. Pharmacists in oncology, especially those in medically integrated dispensing practices in community oncology, are part of the clinical frontline. They're critical members of the cancer care team. They have a tough job ahead of them. You know, first off, in 2026, you have the Part D, which is mainly oral space, of the IRA implementing, and that will require a big change and transformation in oncology pharmacy. But, you know, bigger picture, if reimbursement dries up, then the role of a pharmacist starts to become compromised. It becomes more challenging for them to prevent errors, to take care of patients, and provide all of the services that oncology pharmacists currently do, but aren't actually even paid for. And so when we can stabilize practice margins and practices can invest in sort of their comprehensive teams, then, you know, it's the difference. It makes a big difference in patient care. And, you know, it's, I think what's really important to remember in all of this and with the IRA is that price controls, while tempting, don't cure cancer and don't care for patients. And so we need to really remember that it is these care teams on the front lines, like the pharmacists, the oncologists, the nurses, and everyone in a community oncology practice that is seeing the majority of patients in this country. We need them, and we need policy that understands the downstream consequences of what they're doing, not just press releases and headlines for these major things.
Great. So closing us out, is there anything else that you think our audience should know about the bill, the IRA, and, you know, what they can expect moving forward?
COA and community oncology have repeatedly warned that the IRA, as it's written, is quite likely going to be a practice-ending event for us, and also, frankly, for a lot of other specialty practices. I think our entire community needs to ensure that their voice is heard on this regard, that their advocacy is heard. Bills like the Protecting Patient Access to Cancer and Complex Therapies Act from Dr. Representative Greg Murphy are a common sense bipartisan solution that's very simple technical fix that maintains the goals of negotiations. And so we need our elected officials in Washington to act before it's too late. And frankly, we need our community and our members to stand up and ensure this message is heard.
That brings us to the end of today's episode of the Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition podcast. A big thank you to Nick Ferreras for joining me and sharing his insights on the new House bill and what it could mean for patients, providers, and pharmacists. As the IRA continues to take shape in practice, it's important to follow how new legislation like this could address challenges and protect access to care. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode, and we'll see you next time.